Welcome to Respect Life Radio. My name is Deacon Jeff Bennett with Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Denver. And remember, you can listen to all of our shows at respectliferadio.com. Today, our guest is Dr. Chris Reed. He is an author and sought-after speaker, facilitator, and coach. Through his writings and engaged Catholic ministry, Chris seeks to inspire education to help people discover and use their God-given talents. And today, we're going to talk about his new book called Sacred Conversations, How God Wants Us to Communicate through Sophia Institute Press. And Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Deacon Jeff. It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Well, you know what? Really, really enjoyed the book. And I mean, I guess what was the impetus to write it? I mean, was it something in your own life that kind of had you focus on just the conversations and how you communicate to people that, you know, you thought I need to be closer to Christ? What was it that got you to the point where I need to write this book so other people can understand how important speaking is?
Yeah, oddly enough, it was a sacred conversation that I was having with my coach, my counselor. I do recount that story in one of the chapters, but you know, I was discerning the diaconate myself. I was, taking courses at Sacred Heart Major Seminary here in Detroit, but I was in a bit of a rut in terms of my next passion project, my next writing project. And my coach actually asked me a very powerful question. He said, "Chris, you know, you talk about your faith a lot in our meetings, and you have, you know, you've studied human communication for 25 years. Have you ever thought about writing about these leadership concepts through the lens of your faith?" And I just remember my face went flush, and I said, "You mean be like a Christian author, a Catholic author?" And he said, "Well, I guess if the shoe fits." And I said, "Well, I'll have to take that to prayer." And I walked out of his office. I wrote down the phrase "sacred conversations," and the rest is history.
Well, and like you mentioned in the book, you set quite the high bar because you say you wrote this in 21 days. You're going to be hard pressed to write your next book in less than 21 days.
Amen. Yeah. You know, my first book about leadership, that took 6 months. So there was no doubt when I started seeing the amount of pages that were, I actually started an Excel spreadsheet because I'm a researcher at heart. And it looked like the book was going to be done on Christmas Eve. And my wife said, "Chris, don't put that pressure on yourself. This is God's timeline, not yours. This is a grace. This is a gift." And, it wasn't done on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It was actually done on December 12th, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And Our Lady was a major part of the inspiration and just the desire to keep sitting in writing. So I really consider this a co-labor of love with the Holy Spirit and with Our Lady.
Well, you know, as you're a social scientist, and I found it very interesting how you broke down what a, for lack of a better term, successful conversation looks like, right? Into the different pieces and how a deep conversation can really affect a person, even a Catholic or Christian conversation. How did you apply what you learned in leadership and what a conversation looks like and meld it together to come up with this book regarding, you know, a sacred conversation?
Yeah, in studying human dialogue, there's lots of models of dialogue out there. So I suppose those were sort of bouncing around in the back of my head, but I really went to the Word of God. One of my favorite sacred conversation verses is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 17, where it's the Emmaus story, right? And two, on the morning of the resurrection, two of Jesus's disciples, most of your listeners familiar with the story, 7-mile walk. We've all been on a road trip with a loved one, and they don't recognize the risen Christ upon them, but the first words that Jesus speaks to where two or more were gathered in his name on the morning of the resurrection is, what is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk? So it was both those scientific models that I had used in coaching and consulting for years, but really the inspiration from scriptures themselves, and there's tons of them. I just happened to pull many of them forward to shed the light of Christ onto these scientific models.
You know, I think it's such a timely book. I mean, although it could be written at any time in history, but you know, we live in such a narcissistic world where everything's focused on self, right? Me, myself, and I are my three favorite people. You know, if it's not, if there's nothing in it for me, I'm moving on. We got people, you know, on their phones and social media. This really can help focus us and really look at ourselves objectively to see how far we've gone astray. And this book can really bring us back to these conversations that will help lead people to Christ and strengthen those that we talk to, as opposed to using them for our own benefit.
Yeah, and that's my prayer, Deacon Jet, is we look at all these cultural symptoms and we debate them, we argue about them. We want people to see our side of the issue, not just as Catholics, but everywhere in society. We promote the most idealized version of ourselves on social media. But my prayer is that people start exercising that conversational muscle that all the technology and the connections and the likes and the quote unquote friends have really pulled us away for. We don't do things in groups anymore. We don't bowl in leagues anymore. We do things on our own. And to your point, it's all about me. Mentality has really caused those conversational muscles to atrophy. So my prayer in giving people kind of the anatomy, the checklists, the techniques, but also the spiritual inspiration from Jesus's example and what science says, hey, this just makes for good marriages. It makes for good relationships. It makes for good organizations and teams is to help people start exercising that conversational muscle. So you're right on with the intention. And I mean, anyone, the loneliest demographic in our culture right now, sadly, is like 19 to 29 year olds. A recent Gallup study showed that 27% of them are very lonely. So while it's all about me on social media, when you look at them compared to 65 and over, 65 and over are living a great social life, but our youngest, most vibrant members of society, and this is global data, 142 countries, are these young people. So everyone from a young person to someone who is 65 and over and maybe lost their spouse and now, you know, are very lonely, I think everybody can use it to start exercising that conversational muscle.
Well, it's a great reminder, because when you look at the world that, you know, we're supposedly so far advanced, you know, we're so smart, we don't even need God, right? We cast him out. Yet the world is filled with hatred, anger, despair, right? I mean, mental illness, drug overdose, suicide, all these things that are taking place are really pure evil. And we really do need to take a step back and just look at ourselves. And really, that self-awareness is so critical in so many aspects of our life. But how we talk and how we communicate with people is one of the prime ways we can step back and look and just listen to ourselves. And are we saying what we want to say in the tone we want to say it? And do we actually care about that person we're talking to? This book kind of helps us focus on, you know, really enriching the lives of those that we speak with as we enrich our own by following the example of Christ.
Exactly. The sacred conversations they're intentional conversations. And we tend to, what I hear you saying is that we tend to take that part for granted. When I'm doing workshops and things around sacred conversations, I'll talk about communication is like the water to a fish. We take it for granted until it's polluted or it's gone or it's dysfunctional in some way. And then we find ourselves on the beach in the hot sun going, oh, it was that way of communicating that I was taking for granted that got me into this situation in the first place. So by intentionally looking at the structure and the flow of what a grace-filled conversation looks like, what those five steps are that help us transform our pain, suffering, hopes, and dreams into a better you, a better us, and a better world, we can leverage each one of those steps in an intentional way.
Well, and you mentioned in the book, you talk about two sacred conversational goals. Maybe you can just talk about those, because, you know, and being in leadership, right, we have to have goals. We have to have, we're aiming for something. But how do these goals apply when it comes to sacred conversations?
Well, I mean, it is goal-directed conversation. And that's not to say that it's our desire, it's our will. But the first goal is simply to invite a more grace-filled conversation, to invite the Holy Spirit into the conversation. The second goal is really about the intentional nature of whatever you're discussing with the person in front of you or the people in front of you. This can apply to, you know, one-on-one relationships or group relationships. So it's really about looking at what is our why for gathering around this topic. So it is goal directed, but after setting that intention for the conversation, we move into inquiry to explore those goals, to explore what's getting in the way, to explore the will of the Holy Spirit, to invite the Holy Spirit in. And that's where the process is circular. We can go back to those goals and we can revise them. We can say, oh, it wasn't this. It was my will and it was my desire that might be causing this problem in the first place. So I need to listen to the Spirit on this one. So it's intentional conversation. We can't let ourselves get sidetracked by our own will and our own goals, but by being intentional about inviting the Holy Spirit in, we can often lead ourselves to new illuminations and insights.
So how does, reading this book and understanding sacred conversations, how can that help us in our prayer life, right? Because so many people say their prayer life is, you know, arid, or, you know, that it's, you know, I pray and I don't hear anything, so I move on. How can we apply this to that in our conversations and our desire to communicate with our Lord?
Yeah, the first conversation, the primary conversation that we all need to be having is with our Lord. And I'm actually doing a session coming up in a week or two about listening to the wisdom of God first and foremost as we prepare ourselves for sacred conversations. So, Ignatian spirituality teaches us a lot about those prayerful conversations with God. We can go to 1 Samuel and reflecting on our call, the call through prayer, recognizing the voice of God, which Samuel didn't recognize even, you know, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. He initially didn't recognize, because of his spiritual development, that it was God calling him. So it starts, I think, with tuning in to how we're listening for that soft whisper in the wind. And then taking that forward and practicing it with each other, right? Because when we start to listen to one another, as we listen for that soft whisper of God to each other, we listen differently. It changes us. It changes how we approach the dignity of the other person in front of us, right? Most of us don't listen to understand and to truly empathize and sympathize and connect. We wait for our turn to talk. So I think by starting with our prayer life and being more intentional about, one, creating space to listen to God, two, actually listening for that sometimes very soft voice, and then practicing that in our daily encounters, we start to develop that conversational muscle.
How important is it to be focused also on our body language, right? If we're trying to communicate to somebody that we care, right, and we really want to listen to them, we have to be cognizant of all aspects of our entity, right? And so how important is the body language piece of this if we're really going to have a deep sacred conversation with somebody?
Absolutely. Great question. Almost a communication scholar question, Deacon. I would
throw you one curveball, but it'll probably be the last one I come up with.
We know that, and this goes back to studies by a guy named Albert Mehrabian, 93% of what is communicated in a conversation is nonverbal. And that's a combination of both our body language. So are we leaning in? Are we establishing eye contact? Have we put down our phone to signal to the other person that we're attentive? So we have to be mindful of that as we prepare ourselves for a sacred conversation, as we create space for this intentional form of conversation. But a vast majority, over a third, is vocal. So if you say to me, "Hey, Chris, nice shirt," your language, your verbal communication is saying "nice shirt," but your vocal inflection, even though you might be saying it with a smile on your face, gesture, it communicates volumes. So these are great examples of those elements that when we're only communicating via text message, when we're, you know, even over a Zoom meeting or some sort of video conference, we lose that richness of that face-to-face interpersonal. And you can see it in our young people. Our young people, really struggle with eye contact. This is an opportunity to really kind of dust off some of those conversational skills that were lost during the pandemic and just the influx of social media, and really start practicing them in an intentional way.
You know, the other thing there's so much in this book, but you know, you talk about the kind of the rules of the road, and you know, the first one is obviously, you know, you have to really care, right? I mean, there has to be this compassion that you start with, but the second one is a great reminder, right? You can't force these sacred conversations, right? They just have, you know, both parties have to be open to it. It has to kind of flow. And sometimes we're so anxious, right? We almost force the issue, and we really just need to kind of let it come to us, almost like a sporting event, right? You try to force the issue, you let the game come to you, and then you get into a rhythm. And it's similar, it seems like, in our conversations.
Amen. Yeah, there's seven rules of the road that Sacred Conversations goes over, and these are, they do relate to each of those five steps that I mentioned in the model. And you can't force a sacred conversation. Rule number two, I mean, whether you're coaching, providing spiritual direction, you have to meet people where they're at, right? We can only extend an invitation. And, you know, "Hey, Deacon Jeff, it sounds like this is important to you. Would you like to talk more about that?" And if you say, "Nope, sorry, got too much on my plate," I can't force you into that. So it really is about practicing the art of being intentional about when, where, and how we invite people to these grace-filled dialogues. And then following through on our good intentions, asking God for guidance when we get stuck, because we do get stuck in married life. "Well, I don't know where we should go from here." Well, turn to God. I've done this with groups and teams, where, especially in faith-based organizations, when the team seems stuck, I've just invited, you know, maybe we should just pause and take a prayerful moment and ask the Holy Spirit where we should go from here. And it is amazing when you ask for that guidance, what comes to somebody in that reflective moment. And we have an opportunity to do that every moment of every day in any conversation we find ourselves in.
You know, just you talking about that answer reminded me that, you know, everything that Christ did was relational, right? He spoke to the person, got to know the person. We really do, if we want to have sacred conversations with an individual, we do have to invest the time to get to know that person, right? I mean, it's not something that's going to happen, you know, 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100. the first time you meet somebody, you really do have to know where they're coming from, what makes them tick, where they are on their journey. And it really does take that time. And if we're not willing to invest the time, then to have a sacred conversation is probably not going to happen.
Absolutely. Jesus is the perfect model, the perfect example of how to have sacred conversations. And, you know, when he was preaching, it was a different, public speaking, it was a different mode of discourse that Jesus used. But when you find Jesus in these intimate moments with his apostles, with the outcast and the downtrodden, they were very, very tender moments. And he did get to know people. He did ask questions. That's why after we invite and we set an intention, inquiry is such an important part of a sacred conversation. Jesus taught in questions. He responded to questions with questions. Inquiry was the most powerful tool that he used to get to know people. And so this, the examples and the conversation guides and some of the tools and techniques that I put in there are really intended to model Jesus's model of inquiry.
Well, and you were talking about how he talks to the poor and downtrodden, but also the way he talked to the Pharisees and the scribes, right? It was very intentional. And we are called through the spiritual works of mercy to admonish sinners. So it doesn't have to be all this warm and fuzzy feel good, right? If we actually love the person we're talking to, right, we want to share the truth with them in love, but we don't want to just soft soap everything, right? We want to tell people the truth to help them be better. And we would hope people would do that for us.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a time and a place in a sacred conversation for, I call them a zinger question, to really throw a well-timed, powerful question that causes someone to reflect perhaps on their relationship with God, perhaps on their relationship with someone else that they're coming to you, talking about a conflict they've had with a spouse, where, you throw a zinger at them and say, well, would you say that same thing to your wife if Jesus was walking with you? And whoa, that power of inquiry can really cause someone to do some self-examination, which is exactly the point.
Well, and to that point, right, there's something called, you've probably heard, examine prayer, right? Where at the end of the day, you kind of rewind the day, and I do it, and many times I cringe, unfortunately, when I look back on a conversation or things I've said or the tone I've used. And it really is a great opportunity to say, here's things I did well, but here's things I need to work on. And it seems that would fit perfectly with this, sacred conversations, to kind of be better at them the more we do them.
I hadn't thought about incorporating reflecting through a daily examine on the conversations that you've had, but that is a beautiful application of where did I go left when maybe I should have gone right? Was that of God or was that of something not of God that caused that tone in me? And how can I get another at bat tomorrow and try something differently, whether it's with that same person or with another person? That's a beautiful application.
Well, again, I think we're down to the last couple of minutes, and these conversations always go, way too fast. But, somebody picks up this book, they read it. What would you hope that they get from it? How would this book, if they truly apply it, change their life?
Well, I think it's going to cause them and give them the tools to take the first next step toward becoming a better version of who God wants them to be. I think in doing so, it's going to have a ripple effect on their relationships. And it's going to, it's only through those relationships that we have a ripple effect on our broader culture. So my hope and prayer is that people join us in our mission to start 1 million sacred conversations, changing ourselves through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit, and through that, changing our relationships in the world.
Well, and if we truly love the Lord, right, then we want to share him with people. And we can't do that by beating them over the head. We have to do that by, as you mentioned earlier in the conversation, kind of meeting them where they are, which is, first of all, you got to find out where they are. But, you know, you also mentioned in the book, right, you have the Sermon on the Mount, right, the Beatitudes, where the Lord's reminding us we're going to be countercultural when we do these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in this day and age, taking the time to make it not about yourself, taking the time to take an interest in someone else, having the courage to ask those powerful questions, to invite the Holy Spirit into the conversation, that is countercultural. And that's the example of Christ that I'm trying to follow.
Well, and I guess we need to be aware the evil one is trying to keep us from doing any of those things. So it really is going to be something that we have to be focused on and intentional about, because it's just not going to happen through osmosis like anything else, right? Anything involves a lot of hard work. It takes, you know, just any virtue, right? We have to keep working at it so it becomes habitual. So I think this book really helps us really to see ourselves in a different way and to see others in a different light, right? See them as we talk to them, that we're talking to Christ. And it does really bring us as a great reminder. How can people follow what you're doing? And if they wanted to have you come as a speaker or facilitator, how could they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at oursacredconversations.com. We're also on Facebook at Our Sacred Conversations. And they can pick up the book at sophiainstitute.com.
Respect Life Radio is produced by Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of Denver. And remember, you can listen to all of our shows at respectliferadio.com.